No, yes, it's on now. At the end of our trip through James, and Jeremy reminded us that faith is to be lived out. It's to be acted upon, not just thought about. Ryan reminded us that faith is to be shaped by God's wisdom, not the world's wisdom. He also reminded us that James is one who pokes and prods us with a kind of bluntness that leaves us a little bit stunned and breathless at times. In Eugene Peterson's wonderful summary of the letter of James, he says, "The letter of James shows one of the church's early pastors skillfully going about his work of confronting, diagnosing, and dealing with misbelief and misbehavior. Deep and living wisdom is on display, wisdom both essential and rare. Wisdom is not primarily knowing the truth, although it is certainly that. It is skill in living. For what good is truth if we don't know how to live it? What good is truth if we don't know how to live it?" The letter ends here in chapter 5 with a clear call to prayer. Prayer if we suffer, if we're sick, prayer for the lost, prayer for forgiveness, prayer for confession, even when we are cheerful, prayers of praise. I read in Peterson's summary that James's nickname was Old Camel Knees because he had such thick calluses on his knees from his commitment to endless prayer. He practiced what he preached. Now, it's vitally important to understand that the prayer that James was talking about was communal prayer, a community event, not a solo event. It would not have entered his mind that prayer was just individual. For James, prayer happened in community. What does this kind of prayer together do? Well, the first thing I observed was prayer in community breaks down isolation. One way or another, many of us are experiencing or have experienced a sense of isolation. When we think of those who are sick, the elderly, the lost, all of those circumstances cause people to feel isolated. The company of even one other person praying with them breaks down that wall of isolation. And that person heaves a giant sigh of relief and says, "I am not alone." Secondly, I would observe out of this letter that prayer heals. Now, unfortunately, it's not a formula. So it doesn't heal in the ways that we often want. It doesn't answer and give us the things that often we want or ask for. But prayer does heal. And I learned that in watching a good friend of mine die, Kathy, who died about 25 years ago now. And she was incredibly afraid of the unknown of dying. And she had the privilege of speaking to Henry Nouwen about this. And Nouwen said to her, "Our God is the one who is waiting for you in the midst of the unknown. And our God will be faithful to catch you. For our God is a God and a catcher who knows aloneness and fear and death. So trust the hands of the catcher." And I watched her as prayer and the reality of who God was impacted her. And by the time she died, she was significantly at peace. And she was no longer afraid of the unknown of death. Prayer heals. And let me for a moment reflect on our own community patterns of prayer. And I was incredibly encouraged as I listed some of the ways that I see prayer happening in our community. We pray often for our children and those who work with them and our youth, Dawn and Jeremy. And we pray and give huge thanks for those who volunteer with our youth and children. We pray for council and their wise leadership of this community. We pray for and visit our sick and those who cannot get here. We pray for the grieving. We not only give money to local charities and the mission folks we help, but we pray for them. We pray for and help those who are moving or in some kind of transition. We love our music, our choir, Evelyn and Gerald, and the musicians who bring their talents. And in celebrating their gift to us, we pray for them. And might I add that occasionally we add the prayer of clapping. Not very often, but I would like to say that perhaps clapping is a prayer. We pray for and celebrate babies. We pray for and welcome new members and even give them homemade cookies. And there is more that I could say, but when you look at something like that, it's clear that we are a praying community. And I'd like to know one more thing about this aspect of praying together. It allows our vulnerabilities to shine through. And one of my favorites, Barbara Brown Taylor, puts it this way. Those who are sick or lost come down with an acute case of the human condition, and their vulnerabilities are exposed in vivid detail. Let me say that again. Those who are sick or lost come down with an acute case of the human condition, and their vulnerabilities are exposed in vivid detail. And here we are. We are only human, and sometimes hearing others' vulnerabilities can frighten us. We might be tempted to turn politely away. After all, what do we say? I might make it worse. What if I say the wrong thing? And I was brought up to believe that certain things were not talked about in public. And what happens if they ask me to share my own vulnerabilities or struggles, and we can end up saying, help, I don't know what to do, so I'm going to do nothing. And it is certainly true, lest I sound too extreme, that discretion is to be used, and the audience that you're speaking to is to be considered. However, what if we risked a little more, showed a little more vulnerability, and found one or two other people that we might do that with and pray together? What if we tried to be a little more open with each other? What if we asked just one other person, can I pray for you? And then did it. James tells us prayer works. Listen to this translation from Peterson's The Message. If you don't know what you're doing, ask God. He loves to help. We can trust God to help us. And my observation tells me that we are a praying community. What if we were a bit more open, vulnerable, prayed a bit more? What if? Amen.